Okay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Chaf Aleph. We are going to Be'ez Hashem finish the first parak of Maseches Pesachim today and learn the first daf of the second parak of Maseches Pesachim. We left off on the bottom of daf Chaf and Beis Reishir, sponsored by Liad Maccabee in honor of the birth of his daughter and Lizchus Refor Shlema for Ha'isha Ha'yoledes, his wife Ariel Leah Bas Sara Rivka. We are going to discuss today at the very end of the parak the issues of Takala, when we have to worry that leaving something around is going to cause a person to be Baldi Dei Takala, and then the beginning of the next parak we're going to discuss, the Tana of the Mishnah is going to discuss two basic issues, one about the timing of the Isser Hana of Chametz on Erev Pesach, when does Chametz become Asur Bana, and the other about the proper method of destroying Chametz, how does one get rid of Chametz on Erev Pesach. And then on Amud Beis we're going to begin a very significant sugya about the Isser Hana, about whenever you have a Lashon of an Isra Achila in the Torah, do we automatically assume that that includes an Isra Hana? Every time the Torah says that one cannot eat something, is there a natural assumption that it also means we're not allowed to get Hana'a from something? And we're going to have a fundamental Machlokas HaMoraim about that, that's going to carry us into tomorrow's daf and beyond. It's going to be one of the major sugyas of the second parak of Pesachim. But let's again finish off the first parak first. We left off four lines from the bottom on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. So we were discussing whether leaving something that's going to be usher to use around is going to be a concern of Takala, that you're going to leave it around, you're going to come to drink it, you're going to, because something that's usher to eat, even if there's a way to use it that's not usher, but leaving it around is going to cause a problem. We were talking about yayin that you could use for ziluf, but you're only able to use it for ziluf, for sprinkling on the floor and causing pleasant aroma to come into the room when it's yashan. But if it's chadash, you need to be miyashin it. But if you're miyashin it, you're going to leave it around, and if it's truma, you might come to drink it in the meantime. So says Gemara, v'takala atzma tanaihi. This issue of whether we're worried about takala or not is itself actually a machlokas tanaim. D'tanya chavish al yayin shel truma shenitmeis. If you have a barrel of wine of truma that became tamei, beshamei yom tishafei chavil. Beshamei says right away you got to spill it out. Don't waste any time. Ubeisulam tasaziluf. Beisul says no, you could still use it. You just can't drink it, but you could use it for ziluf. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi ani achriya. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says I'll come to a good compromise opinion. Besada tishafei chavil. If you're out in the field where you can't do ziluf, so then you should spill it out right away. Don't hang on to it long enough to bring it back home to do ziluf. But bebayis, but if it's already in the house, so then right away tasa ziluf. Why should you have to spill the whole thing out? You can do ziluf. So yikad amri bechadosh tishafei chavil biyashin tasa ziluf. Others say that his hachra'o was a little different. That if it's new wine, so then you spill it out right away because you don't keep it around long enough to make it old. But if it's already old wine, so then you could do ziluf right away. So either way, he thought he could be machria between Beisham and Beisil. So Amr lo, ein achra shlishus machra. So they said to him, no, a third opinion like yours is not a proper hachra. What does that mean? Why is that not a proper hachra? We have a general rule in halacha that halacha kedivrei machria. If you have two extreme opinions and then you have a middle ground that says, well, certain cases will paskin like this and certain cases will paskin like that, we generally do paskin like the machria. So why is this an exception to that rule? So says Rashi, das shlishis hizu. This is not a machria. This is a third approach. Shebeisham beisil lo skiru legalos taitim denavi chayshin and takala klal. Beisham beisil were not concerned about takala at all. That wasn't what was motivating their machlokas to begin with, whether leaving it around is a problem of takala or not. And if it were, says Rashi, if that was really their concern about takala, and beisil's whole chiddush was that you don't have to worry about takala, and Beis Shammai's whole chiddush was that you do have to worry about takala, then they should have expressed themselves differently. Beis Shammai should have said, Bein bebayis, bein besada, spill it out right away. He should have said those words, that it's both bebayis and besada, both when there's less of a concern of takala and more of a concern of takala. And Beisil also should have said, bein bebayis, bein besada, you should do ziluf. And then we would realize that the issue at hand is an issue of takala, and then the yachra would be a proper achra, where he says, okay, let's worry about takala where it's a bigger concern, not worry about it where it's a lesser concern. But hashadol eskiru bayis besada, taim achrinahu. lav mishum takala. Clearly, b'sham esilu, we're not motivated by takala at all. Rabbi Shmuel chayish le takala v'hainu tanai. And Rabbi Shmuel obviously does think the whole issue is takala, and that's why he distinguishes between bayis and sadur, between chadash and yashan, and that's why it's not a machriya. That's also the machlokas tanaim. The Gemara said takala is a machlokas tanaim. Who's the machlokas between? It's not between b'sham and b'silal. It's between Rabbi Shmuel versus both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That Rabbi Shmuel is the one that's worried about Takala, and therefore he makes this chilek. Neither Beis Shammai nor Beis Hillel is worried about Takala. They have a completely different issue that they're concerned about. There is a discussion, I think we've had, Marik writes in a tshuva, that if you have a machlokas between the poskim, and two of them hold like one shita, and they argue on a yachid, we always pass like the rabbim against the yachid, even if the two that hold, let's say two people hold mutter and one person holds asur, when we're passing like the two, even if the two that hold mutter have completely different reasons for holding mutter, and based on that, the Rama paskins in Choshe Mishpat lahalacha that if you have machlokas in a horas iser veheter, you follow the rabbim, even if the rabbim are not maskimim mitam echad, even if the rabbim don't agree. The Rama paskins like this maharik, but the Maram Shik in a tshuva points out that it's a little bit difficult from our Gemara, because in our Gemara we're talking about issues of Hachra that we normally paskin like the Machria. So why do we normally paskin like the Machria? So Rashi writes in Maseches Baba Kama Daf Kufta Zayin, the reason we normally paskin like the Machria is, let's say you have Beis Hillel holds Mutter, Beis Shammai holds Asur, and then you have Rabbi Shmuel says in this circumstance it's Mutter. So in that circumstance it's Beis Hillel and Rabbi Shmuel against Beis Shammai. It's a Rov against the Yachid. And in the other circumstance, it's Asr. So in that other circumstance, it's Beis Shammai and Rabbi Shmuel against the Beis Hillel. So you have a rove. That's why Allah Kedivrei Machriya, the Machriya is always in the majority, because he's paskening like one opinion in certain cases, like the other opinion in the other case. So that's why we're always going to pasken like the Machriya. But what does our Gemara say? When the Machriya has a brand new Svara that neither of the other people thought of, and he's motivated by a totally different Svara, then we don't say Allah Kedivrei Machriya. Well, why not? It's still a rove. We should still pasken like the rove. So Maram Shik asks, it's a gevaldika kasha, very, very strong kasha, on this psak of the Ramah, that you can follow the rove, even when the rove is not mitam echad, even when they're motivated by different svaras. That's the kasha of the Maram Shik. Okay, says the Gemara on the top now. New issue. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, I mean, not brand new, but nothing to do with Halach Kedivrei Machriya. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Machlokas Shenafel L'Pachas V'Meyah Sa'achul N'Tzmein. We have this Machlokas, Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Yeshua, if you have Truma that's dripping into chulin barrels, and the question is, the only way to save that truma from falling into the chulin that's tamei is to catch it in a tamei kli. So are you allowed to be matamei at biyadayim rather than let it all become tamei and ruin both the chulin that's on the bottom as well as the truma that's on the top? So says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, that whole machlokas is only if it falls into chulin that is less than 100 times the amount of truma. So it's the machlokas. Because when that happens, all of the chulin is going to be ruined. The truma is not going to be batal. Truma is batal b'meya. So it's not going to be batal. All the chulin is going to be ruined by the presence of truma in the mixture. But if it's falling into 100 times its volume of chulin, then everyone would say, let it become tamei on its own. Don't actively be mitamei it. Because there's not going to be any hefsut chulin if you let it fall in on its own. So there's no heter to actively be metamiyit. Tani nami achli of Brisa says just like this. Chavish shenishpro begas haliona v'tachtea mea chulin tamein. Moda Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shoshim yachalatzil mena revius betari yatzil. Rabbi Elazar will be moda in a case where there's 100 times the volume of chulin tamein klape v'truma, that if you're able to save a revius, you can save it v'imlav teirid v'titame v'al yitamen abiyad. But if you cannot save a revius betahara, do not catch it in a tamekli. Just let it drop into the chulin. It's a little bit odd that we say it in that way, that Rabbi Lazar is moda to Rabbi Yeshua. It should really be that moda Rabbi Yeshua le Rabbi Eliezer, meaning we're assuming that this is going on the imlav part, that if you're not going to be able to save it b'tahara, it should have said Rabbi Yeshua, who previously said yitamena biyad, is going to be moda, then in this case don't be yitamena biyad if it's not going to ruin the chulin. What does it mean moda Rabbi Lazar? Rabbi Lazar, who held before that lo yitamena biyad is moda in this case also lo yitamena biyad. That's backwards. So it says Gemara two possibilities. Amar Rava epoch. First possibility is switch it around. It should taka be moda Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Lazar. Second possibility is Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua Amar liolam lo tebuch. Don't switch it around. We're not talking about that case when we say moda Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shlomo. We're not talking about a case where you can where you cannot save a revius, and therefore the issue is should you catch it in a tame kli or not. Hachal ma'eskin b'kli she'tochel tar v'gabo tame mal detem nigzer dil nagah gabo b'truma kamash mulan. We're going on the resha where we're talking about saving a revius b'tahara, where we said if you could save a revius b'tahara, you should save it. So Rabbi Lazar, who was so concerned about being metame biyad, what if you could save a revius b'tahara, but it's not perfect? The kli you're going to save it in is not perfectly tahar. The kli you're going to save it in is tahar on the inside and tame on the outside. So if you're very careful, you should be able to save truma b'tahara, but it's risky because if that truma touches the outside of the kli, it's now going to become tame. Would Rabbi Eliezer still say to save it? Would he say that that's called being matzel b'tahara? So that's what it said. Moda Rabbi Lazar to Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Lazar is moda to Rabbi Shua that if you can save a revius b'tahara, even if it's a risky kind of saving it b'tahara, you should still do it. That's the moda Rabbi Lazar to Rabbi Shua. How do you have such a thing that a kli that's tame on the outside but not tame on the inside? We have a din of a kli cheres can become tame from the inside, but it's not that the kli only becomes tame inside. I mean, the whole kli, once the kli is tame, the kli is tame. It's just a matter of how it contracts the tuma. How do you have such a thing that the kli is half tame and half tahar? So on a daraisa level, you don't have such a thing. It's like being a tumas yadayim, that on a daraisa level, a person is either tame or he's tahar. You don't have your hands tame and the rest of your body tahar. Those, any such type of tuma is tuma derabanan. So Rashi ends the perek with describing how this happens by a kli. He says a beklisha nitma b'mashkin de tumasan derabanan. We're talking about a kli that became tummy from a mashka, which is only a tumah derabanan, right? On the daraisa level, none of the tanaim at the end of the day on the top of Daf Tazayin held that a kli can be metame mashka on a daraisa level. That a mashka can be metame kli on a daraisa level. That's purely derabanan. The mishkachas l'kedetani kli shenitmu acharav b'mashka acharav tumay and tocha ogno ozno yadav tarin. So that din derabanan that a mashka is metame a kli if it the tummy mashka touches the outside of the kli. Only the outside of the kli becomes tame, the inside of the kli remains tar. That's the end of Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim. Now we begin the second parak of Maseches Pesachim. So again, the Mishnah is going to talk about two things in this Mishnah. We're going to have when the Isra'ana of Chametz begins, and then how to get rid of Chametz. So first part, so long as you're still allowed to eat Chametz, as one is still allowed to eat Chametz, you can still feed it to all different types of animals, you could sell it to a guy, and you're allowed to get Hana'a from it. The Gemara is going to deal with why we need all of those different phrases. Isn't Mutar Bar Naso sort of inclusive of selling it to a guy and feeding it to animals? Plus, why do we have to mention every type of animal? Chaya, Behema, Of. So the Gemara will get to all that. Over Zmano, once the Zman is already over, it's already passed, Asr Bar Naso V'lo Yasek Bo Tana V'Kirayim. Then you're no longer allowed to get Hana'a from it, and you're not allowed to use it to fire up a stove. Now, it's clear from the Mishnah that once it becomes Asr Bahana'a, you're not allowed to feed it to an animal either. The Yerushalmi says, Zosel Meres Shasu L'Achilon L'Behemas Hefker. Not only you're not allowed to feed it to your animal, you're not even allowed to feed it to Behemas Hefker. That's what the Isra Machal Behema includes. So the Ar Samech says, where do you get that from the Mishnah? The Ar Samech explains in Machal Sasuras Perek Dalid that we learn from the Mishnah because they were bothered by the Lashon of the Mishnah. Kol Shash Emutal Lechal Machal Behema Umochel Nachri. Well, when you're machal behema and you're mochel a guy, you're getting anah from the chametz. So what's the umutar ba'anaso? So it must be that since the chiddush of the Mishnah is that when you can't eat the chametz, it's usher to feed it. So if we would have only said that's machal behema, it would imply that when you can't eat it, it's usher lahachil dafka to your behema, and because you're getting anah from it. That's why the Mishnah has to add, in addition, that it's also mutar ba'anah to tell me the din of heter achila, and the inverse, that after the zman isra achila, the din of isra being machl, to be machla behema includes even behema's hefker. So some way, one way or another, the Yerushalmi gets it from there. Also, just a language issue. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to be machil, as long as you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to be machil lebehema, singular, lechaya, singular, leofos, plural. So that's a little bit odd. So the Kol HaRamaz on the Mishnayis says that it says ofos loshen rabim because bird, one bird eats so little. You describe someone who eats very little. You say he eats like a bird, right? So there's a concern that if you feed your chametz to a bird, that he's going to leave over chametz. It has to be too many birds. Whereas a behema and a chaya, just the metzias is that they're going to eat it all up. Other achronim say that it's that that's just the normal loshen to use because most people who own birds don't own a bird. You could own a behema, a chaya, but people typically own multiple birds. The Mishnah though left out one very very important way to get rid of the chametz. It said you could sell it to a guy, you could feed it to animals. What about giving it as a matana to a guy? Can you just give it as a gift to the guy? That's the shaila I get every Erev Pesach. Can I just, I have the housekeeper coming today on Erev Pesach. Can I give the chametz to the housekeeper and she'll take it home when she goes home, even though it's going to be after the Zman Isser, but it's already gifted to her. I keep all the chametz that I sold to the guy in my house, so can I keep chametz that I've gifted to her in my house? So is there a problem with that? So the Ritva writes, the Mishnah doesn't say the option of giving it as a gift because it's also to give matnas chinam to a guy. It's an Isser. Of those sechanim, you're not allowed to give a matnas chinam. But in Shulchan Aruch paskins that machro onasno legai, you could sell it or give it to a guy. In Taf Memches, Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that you can give it as a gift to a guy. So the achronim try to figure out. So why isn't it lo sechanim? The Ritva has a good point. There's an issue of giving a matnas chinam. So the Chok Yaakov explains that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a guy that makiro, that you recognize, you know him, you have a relationship with him. When you have a relationship with a guy, then there's no iser of matnas chinam, because we assume that it's never really chinam. There's an ongoing relationship, so you're going to benefit from positive feelings in that relationship in one way or another. Chok Yaakov also says that since the chametz is worth nothing to the Jew, maybe it's not called matnas chinam, which is a very interesting discussion. The isra of giving a matnas chinam to a guy, is that an isra of giving something that the guy is going to value? Or it's an isra that you gave up something that you value to the guy? Is it a din in the Yisrael, or is it a din in the Nach? So the Chok Yaakov assumes that it's a din in the Yisrael, that if the Yisrael doesn't value it at all, then there's no issue of giving them out. If the Yisrael doesn't feel like he gave anything up, then it's no problem, even though the guy feels like he gained something from it. And other achronim say, even more pashut perhaps, that the Isser is a matnas chinam when you're doing it for the guy. But if you're doing it for yourself, it actually helps you. You need to get rid of this chametz, so it's beneficial to you. Then there's no Isser of giving a matnas chinam. The raya they bring is from the Shita of all the Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ran and Maseches Gittin on Daf Lamed Ches, where they say that the reason that they were allowed to be Meshachar and Eved in order to be Mashlim a Minyan is because I need a Minyan. I only have nine people here. I have an Eved. I can be Meshachar the Eved. Isn't it a violation? I'm giving him Matnas Chinam. It's the greatest gift. I'm giving him his freedom. I'm giving him ownership of himself. No, I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it for me because I need a Minyan. So the Yisra of Lo Sechanim is the Yisra of Lolim Bem Tavodu relates to the Yisra of Lo Sechanim, and as long as you're doing it to help in some mitzvah, to help you fulfill some mitzvah for your own benefit, then that's not a violation of Lo Sechanim. Now, also over here, every year at Mechiras Chametz, there's always somebody, there's always one of the rabbis that are there, always asks the guy, would you mind buying the pets that belong to my congregants who include their pets in the mechira? Are you allowed to include a pet in a mechira? So our Mishnah says that calls man that you're allowed to eat chametz, you're allowed to be machal behema l'chay l'ofos. Once this man Isser comes, you're not allowed to be machal behema l'chay l'ofos. So Rashi Maseches Menachos and Daf Kuf Aleph writes that when your dog eats something, that's considered hana'a, because it's you're getting your machshavas on the dog, that you're benefiting from feeding your own animal. So the poskim dan, is there an etza to be machl your behemos on Pesach by selling the behema to the guy so that it won't be a violation of the Yisra'ana? The poskim discussed this. So the Bukhar Shar in our sugya has a phenomenal chiddush. He says the whole idea that we do mechiras chametz relies on bittul, meaning mechiras chametz is harama. How can we get away with doing such harama that we're going to sell chametz and then buy it back? So he says it must rely on the fact that we're only dealing with dinter rabbanan to begin with, that we've already done bittul chametz, and since we've already done bittul chametz, so mela you could do a mechira, you could do a harama to get around the remaining iser. But says the Bukhar Shar, when it comes to your animal, so Pashto says you're not mevatel your animal, and you're still using it to feed the animal. You still want to feed the animal. So that's not a bittul. Bittul chametz. Chametz is not going to have anything to do with over Pesach, but you're still going to be feeding the animal over Pesach. So that's not a, there's no bittul. Then we're dealing with real dal rice over here. So the mechira is not going to work for a din dal rice. That's how he suggests. However, the rov achronim assume not that way. They assume that mechira's chametz has nothing to do with bittul. Even without a bittul, the mechira works. It works even for the din dal rice to avoid bal yirah. That's how the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes. He has a whole kuntros on Seyd mechira's chametz and Shulchan Aruch Rav, and he says it works on dal rice level, that's in Nishmas Adam, and many other achronim write. So the minute Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Taf Mem Ches, if Kam Lam and Gimel, the minig is to be makel, not like the Bukhar Shar. We sell a refes and the animal stable and the chametz to a guy, but he says have the guy feed the animal. The Jew shouldn't be handling the chametz to feed the animal. Someone else, a non-Jew, should be coming in to deal with the animal, to feed the animal the chametz. So that also again relates in some way, one way or another, from to our Mishnah. Now, even though our Mishnah mentioned selling to a guy, this is not where mechiras chametz comes from. This mechiras chametz was a permanent mechira. You sell it to a guy, you don't buy it back afterwards. The mechiras chametz that we do originates somewhere else. That's from a Tosefta in the second paragraph. Tosefta says that if you have a Yisrael v'nachri hayubon b'svina, and the Jew has chametz, he's allowed to sell it to the guy, or nosam b'matana, v'chozer v'lokeach mimenu l'achar Pesach, and buy it back from him after Pesach, as long as he really, really gives it as a matana gemura. As long as he really means it, but then you can buy it back after Pesach, even if that's the plan originally, it sounds like. So that's where our mechiras chametz comes from, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Taf Mem Ches. Now, we paskin, like the Shitos and Rishonim that allow mechiras chametz, the Trumas Deshan says as follows, that someone who has chametz before Pesach and it's difficult for him to get rid of it, and he wants to give them to a guy or to give them to a guy outside of his house as a matana gemura, and that guy is makiro v'yodo, you know that guy is never going to keep it. He's going to be more than happy to sell it back to you after Pesach. Trumas Deshan says that is mutter. You're allowed to do that. However, it sounds from the Trumas Deshan that the guy takes possession of the chametz. That you actually take the chametz out of your house and put it in the guy's house. Where did it come from that we could leave it in our own house and just rent the property in our own house to the guy? So that originates in the Bach. The Bach says that it was that if you don't have a liquor license, that was the whole reason they did mechiras chametz. We really need to save the half a box of Cheerios. Why couldn't we just get rid of it? Why did mechiras chametz become so popular? It became popular because of schnapps, because that's very expensive, and we don't want to have to get rid of all of the expensive. Jews weren't in the business, so it was very difficult to destroy their whole business right before Pesach, so that's where it became very, very popular to do. So if that's the case, he says, but in many places it's illegal to go and sell and actually give him deliver all the liquor. You don't have a liquor license. How are you gonna sell it? So the Bach was ready matir to give a place in your house, and that probably gets around the legal issues. So I think that's what Rabbi Willig says, that every year at the Mechira, that even though we don't have a liquor license, and we don't have, I think he looked into it somehow or another, that we're allowed to do it, because it still remains in our houses. He's not actually taking possession of it. Okay, end of the mission. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Biur Chametz El Shreifa, V'chom Mamraf M'far V'zor L'Ruach U'mat L'Yam. How do you get rid of Chametz? Rabbi Yehuda says the only way to get rid of Chametz is by burning Chametz. The Chum say you could even crush it up and throw it into the wind, or throw it into the ocean. What if you want to burn it? Are you allowed to burn it according to the Chachamim? So Pashto says, of course you can. Af mefar v'zor l'ruach u'mat l'yam. Right, and that's how the Rambam paskins, that's how the Meiri's Medayik explicitly in our Mishnah. However, the Rif and the Rosh have a girsa without the word af. They just say v'chamar mefarer v'zora lurach without the word af. So the Magen Avraham in Taf Mem Hei Sifkan Aleph says that according to the Rif and the Rash and their girsa, you're not allowed to burn it. You dafka after mefarer v'zora lurach. So all the Achronim, the Bir Agra, the Chok Yaakov, the Achronim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch disagree with that diuk. They don't think that it means that, and they have lots of rayas. The Gemara is going to say, why is it that the Chum disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and think that you don't have to burn it? So the Gemara explains, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, what if you can't find wood to burn it? So what are you going to do? Nothing? So it's going to turn out that Rabbi Yehuda's chumrah of dafka wanting to burn is going to be a kula. You're going to end up with chametz around your house. Well, that sounds like the Chachamim hold that in principle it's a good idea to burn it. It's just that we're worried that if you don't have fire, you're going to end up doing nothing. And furthermore, the Grah points out from the Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda, Ein bir chametz ela sreifa, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's being exclusive. Rabbi Yehuda says that Ein bir chametz ela sreifa, that's the only way. The Chachamim don't say Ein bir chametz ela pir vizar l'rocho hataliyam. No, they say mefar vizar l'rocho mataliyam. So the Lashon also sounds that way. Plus, we have tons of Tanaim in Brisos and Tosefta where it seems to assume Kedavar Pashut that they would burn Chametz. That's what people would do, that they would always burn Chametz. So every single one of those Brisos is only going with Fishitas Rabbi Yehuda. And against Chamim, no, Pashut is not that way. Pashut is like the Rambam says that even the Chacham would hold one is permitted to burn Chametz. Okay, says the Gemara, Kol Shashimut Lechel Machil, so long as you're allowed to eat Chametz, one can feed Chametz to his Behema. HaKol Shashimut Lechel Leinu Machil, the implication is that as long as you cannot eat the chametz, you're not allowed to feed the chametz to your behema. Lema nisn delok Rabbi Yehuda. So let's say our Mishnah must be against Rabbi Yehuda. D Rabbi, even though the word lema is used over here, we're going to say lemaskana. It's not like Rabbi Yehuda either. Tosfos deals with that problem. D Rabbi Yehuda, hayika chametz deino ochel machil. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is the fifth hour where it's already time that you're not allowed to eat the chametz, but you're still allowed to feed the chametz. So the rule isn't going to hold true. Ditzan Rameir Omer Alchem Kol Chametz Resarv Mitzchila Sheish. Rameir holds you can eat through the fifth hour and burn at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Alchem Kol Arba V'Tolim Kol Chamesh V'Sarv Mitzchila Sheish. Rabbi Yehuda holds you can only eat through 4 hours. You don't have to burn it till the sixth hour. During the fifth hour, can't eat it, but you're allowed to feed it to your animals. So it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'alamai Rabbi Meiri. What we want to say that our Mishnah must be going like Rabbi Meir. Hay Kol Shah Shemuter Lechol Machil. What's this extra word mutter? It should not have said kol shasha mutter lechol. It should have said kol shasha ochel. You could be machil. So the Mishnah is not going like Rami Arid. The Mishnah is going like Rami Gamliel. The Tanan Rami Gamliel Omer chulin echolin kol arba truma kol chamesh v'sarf mitchil hashesh. Rami Gamliel holds chulin's eaten for 4 hours a day. Truma could be eaten in the fifth hour of the day, and then you burn at the beginning of the sixth hour. V'hachikam, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Kol shashe mutter lechol kohen b'trumas Yisrael b'truma Yisrael machil chulin. So long as a kohen is allowed to eat truma, mutter lechol means an individual, somebody, not me, and a kohen is allowed to eat truma, then the Yisrael is allowed to feed his chulin to his animals. He's not allowed to eat his chametz at that time, but he's allowed to feed it to his animals. So, period. That's how we're medayik from the first line of the Mishnah. Kol shashem mutar lechol machlu. We're going to go through line by line of the Mishnah. It's very methodical today's daf. Lebehema lechaya laofos. So the next line of the Mishnah says, who are you allowed to feed it to? To behema, to chaya, and to ofos. Lama limis behema, lama limis lechaya. Why do we have to mention behema and chaya both separately? Tzricha. Di tana behema di mishayru chazila, aval chaya di mishayru kamitznala, emalo. I would say that you could feed it to behema because if behema leaves some over, he's going to leave right there where you'll be able to see it, but a chaya is going to hide away its leftovers and you're never going to find it, and then you're going to be in violation of Bayir Abayi Matze. So I would think you can't feed it to a chaya. V'itan a chaya, and if it only would have told me chaya, mishum di mishar miyas matzna, that at least the chaya will have the decency to take it out of your sight, so it won't be a violation of Bayir Ra after he eats it. Avul behema zim di mishar v'lo masak adayte v'kayale Bayir Abayi Matze emelo. But a behema is going to leave some over and he's going to leave it out right in the middle of the room, and you're going to be too busy to think about it. You're not going to realize. And it's gonna come out that it's gonna be Pesach, and you have one of chametz and right in the middle of your house. So I would think not to feed it to behema. Tzricha. That's why I needed to be told both cases that both are mutter. Why are taka both mutter? Tosfos asks the kasha. You're allowed to feed it to a chaya, even though the chaya is gonna go and hide the rest of it. We had a sugya before in Daf Tes that after you did bedikas chametz, you should put it away in a safe place in your rishus. Why? Because we're afraid that a chuld is gonna come and he's gonna drag the chametz somewhere, and you're gonna need to be Bodeg Acharav. Why do you have to be bodik achra by the chaya? Apparently, we're not worried about that. The chaya is going to hide away the chametz. So Tosa says the chaya hides things in different ways than the chulda hides things. The chaya hides things that dafka b'chulda, where it's dark alahatznia b'charamu b'stakim, it hides things really well. That's where we're concerned. But a chaya, the reason we're not concerned by the chaya is because we think he'll be able to find it. We don't think he's going to hide it all that well. We think it will be easier to find. But you have to give some sort of chilik between the chaya and the chulda. So I don't think I said that. I think that was Rabbi Storch's stuff about the chulda, right? Where the chulda neviyahi. Oh, you said that stuff. Okay. So ofos lamali. So says the Gemara. Ofos lamali. Why does it have to mention? So you explain why it says chaya. Why it says behema? Why does it have to say ofos? So I did the tana behema v'chaya tana nami ofos. Once it says behema v'chaya, it mentions ofos as well. Good. Umochro l'nachri. Then the next line said, and you could sell it to a guy. Pshita. Of course you could sell it to a guy. It's before the Zman Isser. Why wouldn't you be able to sell it to a guy? La'afuki me'haytan. It's coming to emphasize not to say like Shitas Be'Shamai. What's Shitas Be'Shamai? Detanya Be'Shamai Yom lo'yim k'radam chemso l'nachri elam ken yodea bo shi'ich l'kodem Pesach. Be'Shamai holds you're not allowed to sell your chametz to a guy before Pesach unless you know that he's going to finish it before Pesach. This still says, no, if you're allowed to eat chametz, you're allowed to sell chametz to a guy as well. You don't have to worry that he's not going to finish it before Pesach. That's not your concern if he finishes it before Pesach. What's the svar of Beis Shammai? Why do I have to worry that he has to finish it? Well, why do I care if he finishes it before Pesach? So the way Rashi and many other Rishonim understand is that Beis Shammai understands the chiv of bir chametz is to be mevayir chametz min ha'olam, to get rid of chametz from the world, not just merishusa, from your own rishus. So if you have chametz that you can see to it that it will get destroyed from the world, you should do that. Getting it out of your rishus is not enough. Other rishonim say, not that way. A significant group of Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ran, the Rabbeinu David, that the reason Beis Shammai is because of a chashash harama, that if it's chametz that's still going to be around, then we're afraid you're going to pretend to be selling the chametz to a guy, but really you're going to want to leave it around so that you could still use the chametz afterwards. So the whole point of telling us that you can sell it to a guy is tells us we don't pass on Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira Omer Kutach v'kol minei Kutach, these dips that last a very long time, as they have a long shelf life, also limkar shloshim yom kodem Pesach. You're not allowed to sell within 30 days of Pesach because the guy is never going to finish it by Pesach. Who cares that the guy is never going to finish it by Pesach? So says Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira is passing like Beis Shammai. He holds like Beis Shammai that you have to sell it with enough time that the guy will be able to get rid of it before Pesach. Now the question is that the only way to explain Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira to passing like Beis Shammai? So Tosu says not that way. Tosu's Nibra Maskul Rabbi Yehuda says Rabbi Yehuda really passing like Beis Hillel, but the Chamor still goes around Kutach because Kutach is a unique type of food. Kutach is shame by lavalav. That when someone sees, Goldstein's Kutach, they know that it's Goldstein's. Everyone knows that it has the shame of the Bailim. It's always known by the name of the Bailim. So that's the problem. What's the problem? So it's called Goldstein's Kutach. But Johnson has it, so who cares that it's called Goldstein's Kutach? So different shitos and rishonim what Tosus means. Some say people are going to think that the Yisrael gave the Kutach to the guy in order to sell it for him on Pesach. So he's running the Jew's business of selling chametz on Pesach. Others think that it's good. People are going to think that the Jew sold the Kutach on Pesach itself. Others say no, that it's going to look like the Jew is keeping his Kutach in the house of the guy in order to buy it back from him or take it back from him after Pesach. Others think that people are going to see it's going to look like the Yisrael is keeping his chametz in the rishus of the guy, and people are going to come to think that the chametz of Yisrael is mutter on Pesach or even after Pesach. The Chiddush Rabbeinu David says a different reason. He says since Kutach is omid l'zman meruba, the chum were choshish for harama more by Kutach than they were by anything else. So it's not because shame alav. It's different than Tosfos. But according to Rashi, it's still very difficult. Why would you pass on like Beis Shammai? The klal always is that we pass on like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai. So Chiddush Rabbeinu David and the Ran are both matarets that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. He had a different tradition. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira must have held that there was no machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, so he didn't think he was passing like the Beis Shammai. But it's, as far as we know it, it's Shitas Beis Shammai that he's holding like that. You have to make sure the guy gets rid of all the chametz before Pesach. Umutter ba'ana. So we said, and this chametz is mutter ba'ana. So pshita, you're allowed to eat it. Of course it's mutter ba'ana. We're talking about before this man is rachila. What's the chiddush in telling me that it's mutter ba'ana? The chiddush is that if you totally burn it, you char it before the Zman Isser, the Kamash Malka the Rava. The Chiddush is like Rava says, Dam Rava, Charcha Kodim Zman, Mutbana, Afilu Lachra Zmano. That if you totally char the Chametz before the Zman Isser, then you're allowed to eat that Chametz even after the Zman Isser has already come, because it is no longer Chametz. It's completely destroyed once it's been charred. There is a discussion in Poskim if you have Lechem Mishnah and one end of one of the loaves of bread, one of the loaves of challah, is totally charred, is that a din of Lechem Mishnah? Do we say that since you would obviously going to cut off that piece and not eat it, you're just going to throw it away, so it's not considered that you have shlemos, it's not considered that you have complete loaves? So in the Shaar Ephraim, in the Chuvas, in the Shaar Ephraim Siman Aleph, he talks about this case, whether we consider kol omid lachtoch kichatoch dami, and he talks about chibur b'chaticha, so he discusses this issue, and in the Chuvas Makom Shmuel, he suggests, he quotes here in the Panini Alach, in the Chuvas Makom Shmuel, that even lechem acharuch b'katzeu, even if it's charred at one end, it's still considered shalem, because some people will eat even charred bread. Where does he get a raya from? From our sugya. Our sugya talks about chametz that you char before Pesach, that it's mutar b'ana, and Tosas and the Rush, right, that we're talking about that it's so charred that it's pasul me'achilas kelev. But if it's not charred to that point, that it's pasul nifsal me'achilas kelev, then we still consider it to be legitimate, we still consider it to be real chametz, and it's also b'ana. So you see that it's, as long as it's not nifsal me'achilas kelev, it's still considered to be part of the loaf of bread. It's still considered to be a shalom. Good. Says Gemara, avos manu asur b'ana. So once this man iser comes, then you're not allowed to get anah from it. Pshita, of course you're not allowed to. Lo tzricha l'shos rabbanon. We're talking about even when it's only asur b'achila midrabbanon in the sixth hour of the day before chatzos. Dam Rav Gidol, Dam Rav Chia Bar Yosef, Dam Rav Yochanan, hamakadish mishei shos l'mala afilu b'chita kardinasa ein choshen l'kiddushin. If a person does kiddushin mishei shos l'mala, even with chametz the Rabbanon, the Kiddushin is not a valid Kiddushin because he has no rights to that Chametz. It's already Asr Bahana. Discussion of the Rishonim. Are we talking about Sha'os Da'oraisa and Chametz the Rabbanon over here? Or, and we're just saying that just like Chitik or Denaisa is Chametz the Rabbanon, after 6 hours of the day, which is Sha'os Da'oraisa, it's already considered Nisr Hana. So too, when you have Chametz Da'oraisa in Sha'os the Rabbanon, it would also be Nisr Hana, or maybe it means something else. Okay, V'lo Yasek V'otan V'kirayim. You're also not allowed to use it for fuel for your oven. Pshita, of course, you're not allowed to use it for fuel for your oven. Lo Tzrich L'Rabbi Yud D'Amrein B'Yur Chametz Al Sreifa. Salka Da'it Chamina Hol V'am Rabbi Yud Mitzvah B'Sreifa B'Adid Kassar Flo L'Sani Minei Kamash Mulan. I might have thought that since Rabbi Yud holds the mitzvahs to burn it, so while you're doing the mitzvah, might as well get the hana of having it fire up your oven. Come Ashman, that we don't say such a thing. Here's the sugya. It's going to take us a while, well into past tomorrow. Well, how do I know that chametz bePesach is asur b'hana? Shenemar lo yeachel chametz. Lo yehebo heter achil. Lo yeachel doesn't mean don't eat. It means don't do anything that will ever promote your own eating, like selling it, which will get you money that you could buy food with. Time of the kasav rachman lo yeachel chametz. Halo kasav lo yeachel havaminis rachil mashma israel na lo mashma. Sounds like it's only because the Torah chose to use the phrase lo yeachel, but had it chose some other phrase to tell me the isra achila, then it would have been mutar bana. Upliga de Rabbi Avo. That's against Rabbi Avo, because Rabbi Avo holds that any isra, any lashon of isra achila, doesn't have to be Yei Achel. It could have been any Isra Achila, includes an Isra Ana as well. Domer Rabbi Vo, Kol Makom Shnemar, Lo Yei Achel, Lo Sochal, Lo Sochlu, Echad Isra Achila v'Echad Isra Ana b'mashma. It always includes both an Isra Achila and an Isra Ana. It doesn't have to be Yei Achel. Ad Shei Pari Lecha, Akasav Kederek Shapir Lecha b'Nevela. Until the Torah goes out of its way and tells you about an Isra Achila, that it's Mutar Ba'ana, you always naturally assume the default position is that it's Asar Ba'ana. By Nevela, the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that it's Mutar. Don't eat nevela, but you can give it to a ger toshav, a guy, or you can ger toshav, or you can sell it to a nachri. So I only know that you can give it to a ger toshav, you could sell it to a guy. Now I know you can even sell it to a ger toshav. Tamalomar, if you put the comma in the wrong place in the pasuk, it sounds like it's saying to sell it to a ger toshav, because the pasuk says legera shabishrechatit nena omachor. And if you stop the pasuk there, it sounds like you're selling to the ger toshav. L'nachri b'nesina minayin. How do I know you can give it to the nachri? Also, put the comma in a different wrong place. Tamalomar titnena va'achla o machar l'nachri. That titnena may be going on the nachri also. So nintzi somar echad ger ve'echad nachri bein b'bukhir bein b'nesina divrei meir. So a meir holds, the pasuk is telling me, you're not allowed to eat nevela, you can give it or sell it to either a ger toshav or a goy. Both options are available for both of those people. Rabbi Yehuda omar dvarim k'ksav. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to do exactly like the pasuk says. L'ger b'nesina l'nachri b'mechira. If you're giving it to a ger toshav, it has to be giving. If you're giving it to a guy, it's got to be selling. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda get that from the pasuk? Because he sal kadai chadam Rav Meir. If Rav Meir were really correct, lichtov rachmana l'ger shab shrachet hitnena v'achlo machar. O lomeli, the word O seems to divide the giving to the ger toshav and the selling to the guy. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda says, it's coming to tell me one option or the other, but you can't do both methods of getting rid of it to both of these people. Meir used the word O to tell me that it's preferable to give it to a ger toshav than to sell it to a guy, because you have a mitzvah to support a ger toshav. Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, that's true that it's preferable, but hello, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that that's preferable. Given the gerat mitzvah l'achiyosav and nachriyat mitzvah l'achiyosav, you have a mitzvah to support the gerat toshav, not a goy. So lo tzarich kra svaru. You don't need a pasuk. It's a svara. So now all that for the following. Bishlam the rameir dam rechad ger vechon nachri ben bri mechir ben resina midisro kra the mishra nevela bana kol yisrael shabatora asurin ben bachli ben bana. According to rameir, that the pasuk is just telling me give it to a guy or a ger, sell it to a guy or a ger. So the fact that the pasuk has to tell me that implies that normally when I'm not allowed to eat something, I'm not allowed to get hanah from it either. El Rabbi Yehuda, damu l'dvarim k'ksavanu da'asa, ha'kol yisurin shabatorim inali da'asurim ba'na'a. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the pasuk is needed to tell me that I'm only allowed to sell it to a guy, not to give it to him, and I'm only allowed to give it to ger toshav, not to sell it to him. So this pasuk isn't teaching me that it's mutter ba'hanah. Maybe I already knew that it was mutter ba'hanah. Pasuk is teaching me how to get hanah from it, but it's not telling me that it's mutter ba'hanah. So where do I learn that whenever the Torah says, it means an Isra Hana as well. So that we'll leave Baz Hashem for tomorrow.